Friends, good morning and welcome. We're delighted, thank you. We're delighted that you're here for worship at First Baptist Church. We'll begin in a moment, but first, let's all be greeted and let's be caught up on opportunities coming up, needs coming up. First, I want to pass along the information in case you didn't realize that Art Fair arrives in Ann Arbor 2 weeks from now, and our parking lot gets filled up with large vehicles of those who are vendors. And so we, on Sundays, get special parking privileges across the street. I think they charge the ordinary people to park on Sundays there. But we are given vouchers. If you don't have yours with you on that Sunday, 2 weeks from today, you can still get in the lot across the street. But it's helpful if you have one, and those are at the information counter outside this door here. Please pick one up today if you think you can be here 2 weeks from today. Also at that counter, you will find, if you don't have it already, a list of scripture readings that our church, our congregation, is doing together daily. We would love for you to participate in that shared discipline in the scriptures this summer. You will notice in your insert there's a Habitat for Humanity Work Day on the 14th, which is Saturday of this week. There are other announcements in your bulletin insert. Please take a look at those. Now, dear friends, the hour of worship is upon us. And so with intention, we open our hearts to all that the Spirit of God would do in us and give to us and ask of us. Let us worship.
Prepare us for worship. We're going to learn our middle hymn, which is simple but is new to us. So I'm going to invite Bonnie to come forward. And
good morning, everyone. Can you take this out? Mm-hmm. This is easy. Trust me. No, it is easy. Okay. So just a little map so you know how it works. You're the first verse.
And now we do open our hearts, our minds, our lives to the living God who is among us now. Let us worship.
Please stand as you are able. Would you pray with me? God, creator of the universe, we come together to worship you. We are here because we recognize the many things that pull us away from you, our weaknesses, our fears, the stresses of work and relationship, but also our successes, our possessions, the many distractions that fill our lives. We are here to be reminded of the truth of who we are and what we truly need. We ask you to work through our songs, our reflection on the scripture, our prayers, and our communion with each other to change our hearts and lives. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. Together from Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God.
Whose holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth.
As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God establishes forever.
We have fought.
As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth.
Your strong hand is filled with righteousness.
Walk around Zion. Go all the way around it.
Go through its fortresses, that you may tell the next generation.
This is God, our God forever and ever. God is the one who will lead us forever. Second letter to the Corinthians. If I did want to brag, I wouldn't make a fool of myself because I'd tell the truth. I'm holding back from bragging so that no one will give me any more credit than what anyone sees or hears about me. I was given a thorn in my body because of the outstanding revelations I received so that I wouldn't be conceited. It's a messenger from Satan sent to torment me so that I wouldn't be conceited. I pleaded with the Lord 3 times for it to leave me alone. He said to me, "My grace is enough for you, because power is made perfect in weakness. So I'll gladly spend my time bragging about my weaknesses so that Christ's power can rest on me. Therefore, I'm all right with weaknesses, insults, disasters, harassments, and stressful situations for the sake of Christ. Because when I'm weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord.
Let's pray together, please. Source of all truth, source of all compassion, you are nearer to us than our breath. In your love, all things are held. Keep us from the illusion of separateness. Wean us away from our insecurities, our fears, our self-obsession. Deliver us from our bad habit of judging each other. Free us from every stinginess of the heart. Give us a more venturesome faith. Help us to rise more willingly, more joyously to what you have called us to be starting today. Today we pray again for the children and the parents separated from each other at the border by our government. May the little ones who have been lost be found and return very soon to their families. Where our laws or their interpretations are unjust, may they be changed. And where the laws we have are enforced, may it be done without such cruelty. We pray again today for the people of Nicaragua who continue to suffer violence, chaos, and deprivation. Especially we offer prayers for our friends there, for Drs. David and Laura Parajon, the staff and communities of Amos Health and Hope, for their safety, for the effectiveness of their work in times of tremendous need. We pray also today for victims of flooding in Japan. And we pray for these. For Bill McKeachy, Jim and Jerry Suits, for Stacy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Peter Mortensen, Sawne Lynn, Rodney Scow, Liz and Michael Dalton, and Robert L., for Jim Terrace, the family and friends of Robert Szymowski, for Lynn, Charlie, and Kate, and for the Thai soccer team. And now we make our personal prayers in silence. And now, believing that you know us better than we know ourselves, and that you hear us, even the longings to which we cannot put a name, and believing that you desire all in the end to be set free, we offer all our longings and all our love, praying together now as Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Will you stand with me for the reading of our gospel? This is the gospel according to Mark. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? and they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two. And he gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." So the 12 went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick, and they cured them. The word of the Lord. You may be seated, and I invite the children forward for time as children as we sing together.
To start our worship today, learning a new song. Miss Bonnie was helping us learn it, and Miss Shanae. And I want to show you a little bit about that song, Tumamina. This is where we are. Do you see us here? The blue dot is Michigan. Yeah? And this song comes from South Africa, way over here. Do you see that? Oh, so here we are. South Africa's way down here. See it? See the orange spot, orange star? Yeah. And South Africa has lots of different languages. Many different languages are spoken there. There are 11 official languages, and one of them is Zulu. And that is the song we heard today. The lyrics we heard, the beginning words of that song, Tumamina. So we're going to sing that song in just a second as our ending time to time as children. And we're going to stay here to sing it together, but I want to listen to those words. Would you give me that? Tumamina means send me. And we've learned that sign for send because we just had that in the song we just sang. Can you show me like this?
Send me. That's what tumamina means. Send me.
So mandla. That means Lord or Almighty in Zulu. And that's this way. We show Lord. Anytime we say God like that, Lord. Yeah. So we're saying, send me, send me. And do you hear that story that Pastor Stacy just shared about the disciples going out? They had big, important work to do. Ooh, send me. So we're saying, okay, Jesus, go ahead, send me. We'll go out for you, send me. And then we hear some other verses in English. Send me, lead me. Let me show you the sign for lead. I love it. I want you to think about Jesus leading you. This is the sign for lead. Can you imagine? Can you think about that? I love that as a prayer image. Jesus pulling us, leading us, guiding us. Lead. And then we also have fill. And we've done this one together too. Fill is also, I think, a very prayerful image that we can use together when we pray together and when we pray by ourselves at home.
Yes, fill. Like you're filling up a cup all the way to the brim. Fill.
So we use these songs and these words, the words in Zulu and the words in English, to pray and to ask Jesus to do these things. To send us, show me send. Send us, to lead us, can you show me lead? And to fill us. So let's do those signs as we sing the song all together. And once the song's done, then we'll head to Sunday school, and we get to sing this song then, before time as children, next week. So let's sing these words together. Pray these words together too.
Will you pray with me? Lord, we do ask you to lead us. We do ask you to send us and to make us ready for all of that. We ask you in these moments to fill us with your love, your grace, and your power. In Jesus' name, amen. 1300 years ago, huge difference, the great Tang Dynasty in China descended into civil war after a rebellion was launched against it. The time of the Tang Empire is generally thought of now as the high point in Chinese civilization, a golden age in its long history. And then in 755, the An Lushan Rebellion began, and the country fell into chaos and war. Over the next 7 years, 36 million people were killed or displaced, making it one of the worst man-made disasters in human history. The great Chinese poet Tu Fu lived and wrote during this time of upheaval, and he captured the turmoil and horror of living in a time when neighbor turned against neighbor. And now, all these centuries later, living in the disintegration of our own country's golden age, some of Tu Fu's poetry feels as relevant today as it must have all those centuries ago. Like this bit from his poem, Overnight at the River Pavilion. Wolves howl. I cannot find rest because I am powerless to amend a broken world. As I read headline after headline, as I feel outrage after outrage, Tu Fu's words feel pretty true to me. How about you? I cannot find rest because I am powerless to amend a broken world. With so much broken already, with so much that is still breaking, what can any of us do except for rage and grieve? Or else try to just ignore the news and focus just on our own little lives. We don't have the power to fix all that is broken. And it feels awful to feel powerless. Did you know that there was a time that Jesus felt powerless too? Last week we heard these beautiful stories of his healing power. How a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years was healed just by touching the hem of his cloak. How he raised a 12-year-old girl from death just with his words, "Little girl, get up." From the first days of his ministry, he had been teaching, healing, and casting out demons. And from the beginning, the people were astounded, remarking to each other that he taught as one with authority. With his words and with his touch, Jesus overpowered illness, overpowered evil, even overpowered death. He came to say and to show that God's reign is at hand. The eternal realm of God has broken into the present moment to overturn evil, to transform the world. And so Jesus calls people to repent, to change, to turn from their old, selfish, inward-looking little ways and turn towards God's realm of life. To participate in and to embody the kingdom of God in the present moment. And the crowds responded. They prayed impossible prayers. They asked impossible things. They sought impossible help from him. And with his words and with his touch, he answered. He healed. He pushed back evil. He changed their lives. And now he comes home. He begins there just as he began his ministry in Capernaum in the beginning of Mark's gospel. He goes to the synagogue to teach. And again, he teaches with authority. And again, people are astonished. Where did he get all this wisdom, they ask each other? Where did he get the power to perform miracles? But on their lips, these are not neutral questions. We see that there is judgment here. There is, who does this boy think he is here? They even ask, isn't this the carpenter, Mary's son? And make no mistake, there is shaming in that question. They know that Jesus is someone who works with his hands, not a member of the educated class, not someone who has had the luxury of time and means to dedicate himself to learning the law. These hands were working hands. Now he's using these hands as if he has some kind of power in them. They see him trying to rise above his station. And they're not just judgmental. They're actually offended. Sometimes when God gets too close, it just feels too threatening. And Jesus doesn't seem surprised by their reaction. And we really aren't either, are we? Because sooner or later, almost all of us have some form of this encounter. People we thought would celebrate us, or wish us well, or take pride in what we've done, or what we've become, instead judge or reject us. They can't embrace who we are. They can't accept who we've become. Sometimes it's the people closest to us. Jesus says, in your hometown or among your kin or in your own house. Sometimes it's the people closest to us who can't see or accept or celebrate new and sacred realities that are breaking out in our lives. But it's also true that sooner or later, all of us ourselves are like Jesus' hometown crowd, right? Blinded by familiarity, we don't expect great things from people we already know. Or feeling threatened by someone else's success, we turn from envy to judgment. Or clinging to our old, familiar, safe understandings, we can't even see beautiful new truth as it emerges in the life of someone close to us. When someone we know changes from who we thought they were, it can push us to wonder if we ought to have changed too. It's easy to feel threatened. It's easy to want someone to change back rather than to wonder if we ought to change ourselves. What Jesus encounters in Nazareth is familiar to all of us. It's hard to make room for new truth, especially if that truth might challenge us to change. And so, while Jesus isn't surprised by their reaction, what happens next is surprising. Mark tells us that because of the lack of faith in his hometown, Jesus could do no deed of power there. Well, except cure a few sick people, he adds. But mostly, Jesus was powerless. And it's startling, because we would rather not think that his power is so dependent on whether or not people believe. But Mark tells us that Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. And the word there isn't really unbelief. It's a word we don't have, which is unfaith. It's not about what they think. It's about what they do with what they think. The people in Nazareth believed that Jesus was teaching with wisdom. They believed that he was healing with power. They just didn't recognize it for what it was, that the reign of God was breaking into the world and asking something of them. Or maybe they did recognize it, but they were threatened and offended by God's power showing up in such an unsanctioned way, calling for them to change. And so they couldn't do it, wouldn't do it. When Jesus calmed the storm one night at sea, the disciples asked, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" And the only answer is, "This is God with us, God in the boat." But the people of Nazareth could only answer, "This is Mary's boy, the carpenter. Who does he think he is?" And because they refused to recognize God's presence in their midst, they made it impossible for God's power to work in new ways among them. And so we see in their story that here is a power that we hold, whether we realize it or not. The power to close down what God can do among us, or within us, or with us. How much of God's power do we shut down? How much of God's power do we refuse by our blindness, our small rejections, our outright resistance? When Jesus was rejected and his power was resisted, he did not do as the poet Tufu did, or as you and I are often tempted to do. He did not give in to his powerlessness and let it make him feel restless and despairing. Instead, he shared his purpose and he shared his power with his friends. He leaves his hometown, calls the 12, and gives them the authority to do what he's been doing, to carry on his mission. Up until this point, The disciples have been following him around the countryside, listening and learning, but now we see what following really means. It means joining him. It means being partners in his work, partners in proclaiming that the reign of God is at hand, partners in God's power to bless, to heal, to renew, to call people towards transformation. And Jesus sends them out two by two, a sign that this work really is a partnership, not just with him, but with each other. And he charges them to take nothing with them except a staff and sandals, not a bag, not money, not an extra tunic. Their neediness, their reliance on the hospitality of others will be a reminder that wherever they go, other people have power too. Power to reject and resist and shut down what God can do. Power to receive and to be blessed. Power to turn and change and then to go and pass the blessing on. So the disciples went with the same message Jesus was proclaiming, doing the same work Jesus has been doing, and given the same power of God to keep doing it. And when the disciples go out to the villages, teaching, healing, and casting out demons, they accomplish more than they do anywhere else in the Gospel of Mark. They move out into the world together, beyond their fear, beyond belief or the limits of their belief. They just accept the power given to them, and then they act on it. They actually cure people. They proclaim that God's realm is at hand, and they participate in its power. And here's the thing. They didn't mend the whole broken world. Not all of it. Not for all time. And not on their own. What they did was go out into the little villages around Nazareth. Just their little bit of the world. They went out. They did what they had the power to do in their part of the world, just right there. And the results of what they did there and then are still reverberating around the world to here and now. That's our calling too. That's our power too. We have enough power to bless, to heal, to transform the little part of the world right around us. And when we participate in the realm of God in that way, who knows what all will come of it? But we feel powerless, so we don't believe things can change. We are too familiar with the broken realities to recognize the power of God already unfolding in our midst. So it is our own unbelief that hampers the power of God to work in us, or on us, or with us, or through others. But the truth is, we are charged with God's own power. And God has called us into purposeful, powerful partnership for the healing of the world. We won't mend the whole world, not all at once, not for all time, and not on our own. But we have been given enough power to share with each other and to go out together to say and to show the truth that God's reign has broken in already, right now. We have been given the power and enough of it to live the reality that God is present and good and trustworthy. We may feel powerless, but we have all the power we need to bless and to stand up to evil and to heal and to see impossible things become possible through our partnership with God and each other, and to share the transformative grace of God with the desperate part of the world around us. Eleven years ago this afternoon, it was a Sunday. It was sunny. And our family was on a beach in Florida with our then 3-year-old sons, when one of them, just a few feet from where we were unfolding beach chairs, simply disappeared. And we frantically searched the shore and the water, minute after panicked minute, yielding nothing but more shore and more water, endless, and no little boy. And thinking he was surely in the water already, lost to us, and feeling completely powerless, all I could do was pray impossible prayers. Save him. Bring him back to us. Help him. Help us. And after several long minutes, a young woman who had been helping us look for him, who had said to me from the beginning, "It's okay, we're going to find him," suddenly noticed a small depression in the sand right near our beach chairs. And she asked me if it was there when we had gotten there. And I looked at the millions of depressions in that endless beach and told her I had no idea. And she stuck her hands in the sand where that depression was. And she felt the top of Rob's curly head under there. And she gasped. And she looked at me and said, "He's here." And she started digging. And others started digging, and they found our son, and they pulled him out, and he was okay, and he is okay, and we are okay. He had fallen into a small hole in the sand, and it had collapsed on him all in the blink of an eye, and none of us had seen it happen. And he was buried there for several minutes. And the young woman who found him, a Christian, would later tell us that God's Spirit had told her to look in the sand. And that was so bizarre and so impossible. But she listened, and she partnered with God's power to participate in what some of us would call a miracle. She didn't mend the whole world that day, but she mended our world. She changed our lives. She saved our family because of her partnership with God. And what about you? You have more power than you can imagine, and so do I. How will you be God's partner in blessing, in healing, in changing, in loving your world? How can we help but respond to God's love and God's power with our joy, our gratitude, and our gifts? So we make our offerings now freely and with joy.
Amen.
loving and gracious God, receive these offerings as signs of our desire to accept your love and your power, and to work with joy and hope as your partners in our world. In Jesus' name, amen. Power to share God's peace, and it starts in this room with each other. The peace of Christ be with you.